Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
I'm late to work. Good morning, friends. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's good to have you with us this Sunday morning. If you haven't been here before, if this is your first Sunday with us, we're so glad to have you here. And if you've been with us for a long time, we're grateful to have you here as well. Hopefully on the way in the door, you were handed a connection card inside your weekly worship bulletin. On that connection card, there are a whole host of ministry opportunities that we would love for you to sign up for, and just let us know that you're here. You can fill them out real quickly, just with your name and contact information. On the back of that connection card, there are a whole bunch of ministry opportunities that are listed, and if you take a moment to look over those opportunities, we'd love to have you sign up for those. For those of you who are watching online, we'd love to have you sign up. There's a digital version of the connection card on our website, and it would be great to have you connected here at the church as well. I also want to let you know that in the prayer, there are prayer cards in the pew back in front of you. They're yellow. If there's anything that we can be praying for you or alongside you about, we would be honored and humbled to have the opportunity to be in prayer with you as you move throughout your life. If there are friends, neighbors, colleagues, children, grandparents, anybody that we can be praying for, we feel really humbled and honored to be able to do that as well. This morning, we're going to be continuing our sermon series on gratitude, and this morning, we're going to be talking about the environment, the importance of caring for creation, God's creation, and so we hope that in the midst of this service, something that we say or pray or sing together would add to your level of appreciation for God's creation, and look forward to that this morning as well. I want to share with you just a couple of announcements. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, also called Valentine's Day, so for those of you in committed relationships, there's nothing more romantic than taking your spouse out to a nice dinner and then ending the evening by spreading ashes on your forehead. Amen? I don't know how to sell that any better, but it's the beginning of the Lenten journey. So if you want to get all dressed up, you know, in your nice outfits and go to downtown Brighton and support local businesses, then at the end of that, you can come here and we'll promptly ruin your makeup and, you know, your wonderful look for that. No, it's the beginning of the Lenten journey, and we want to invite you to two services. One is at 12 at our Whitmore Lake campus, and the second one is at 7 here at Brighton. And we hope that joining together, we can enter into this season of Lent and really have an opportunity to focus on spiritual growth, intentionally growing in our faith during this Lenten season. We want to invite you to begin the season of Lent with us. The second thing is, there's a Lenten study that's beginning. It's called The Third Day by Tom Berlin, a bishop of the United Methodist Church. We have a couple of different opportunities for people to get involved in that study. We're looking forward to gathering at the Brighton campus at 11 a.m., also at 9:30, and the Whitmore Lake campus during the fellowship time. It begins actually this week, February 11th, during fellowship time. So if you're interested in signing up for one of those studies, please let us know on the connection card. We'd love to have you join us for that. Finally, the third announcement, we've got a family camping weekends that are planned on May 17th through 19th and August 15th through 18th. The thing I want to share with you about that is if you intend to go but haven't signed up and registered for that, we tend to have like 20, 30 people from the church go camping together. We invite you to register for those campsites because they're going to be released to the general public if we don't fill them. So if you'd like to sign up for those, we encourage you to do so. We get a nice big sort of cluster of campsites so that we can all fellowship together. There's singing and worship, and it's a really great opportunity to get to know folks from the church. You don't have to be an avid camper. There's more than enough to go around. We promise to feed you marshmallows and chocolate. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. So with that, I encourage you to stand as you're able and join us in singing our opening hymn. 144, "This is my Father's world. Let us stand and sing unto the world, Lord."
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord of all, we stand in awe of the wondrous creation you have given us to live in. Thank you for the many blessings of nature. Help us to appreciate them. Thank you for the many different creatures you have created. Help us to care for them. And thank you for the many kinds of people you have created. Help us to love them all as you love. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you. today's scripture reading comes from Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its vast boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks so much, Hannah, for reading the scripture for us this morning. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who created all things. Amen. So we're in the midst of this sermon series about finding gratitude in our day-to-day lives, and I hope that you've taken a moment, even if it hasn't been every day or consistent, been a consistent practice of yours, but I hope you've taken a moment throughout the course of the last 6 weeks and written down at some point, just one thing that you're thankful for. There are still some gratitude journals in the back if anybody's interested. This will be the last week of this. You can be like, we're done being thankful for stuff, John. Like, we're moving on to other things, and that would be quite all right. We're in the midst of this sermon series, though, where this spiritual practice is something that we're trying to sort of instill in ourselves as we move through the rest of this calendar year. And I have to tell you, this last weekend, I had the privilege, it was yesterday actually, sometimes weekends feel like they're long and other times they're short. This one was really intense because I went up to Alpena to help my family celebrate the life of my great aunt. And so I met my parents in Flint and I dropped my car at the Bishop International Airport there, parking lot, and we carpooled up north of Flint, and I don't know if you all feel this way, and maybe you don't drive I-75 all that often, but as a kid growing up in Clarkston with grandparents that lived in Alpena, we would quite frequently take that I-75 corridor, and something magical happens when you get north of Flint. Can anybody else feel this? Like, all of a sudden, blood pressure lower, stress that you're feeling, racing hearts, concerns inside your mind. It's sort of magical. It's almost like there's, like a wizard standing there north of Flint, and it's just like, and your problems are going away, and your problems are going away. I don't know if anybody else is like this, but for me, going north, particularly where I feel it's sort of north of Flint, and we oftentimes get off I-75 and take on our way up there, I don't even know the route that we took. We just kind of kept going east and north, and eventually you either run into the lake or like some expansive forest, and then you get to Alpena somehow. But for me, all of a sudden, when the concrete clears, and maybe like the stoplights and everything else that we oftentimes see, the closer we get into the Detroit metro area, something happens when those concrete structures are replaced with trees. And instead of looking out and seeing a stoplight, you see a hawk that's like, looking down into the grass, looking for some mouse or whatever rodent, running. It just something happens for me where I'm like, I don't know, I feel almost unreachable north of Flint. It's like you go into another place. And it was such a powerful reminder that, again, even at this moment in my life, how incredibly important creation is. I don't know about you, but if it's not forests for you, for some folks, it's the water. And I remember a number of years ago when we went up to Alpena to celebrate my grandfather's life. This is kind of a nostalgic beginning to this sermon, but when I went up to celebrate his life, I remember going out to Thunder Bay, the area just outside of Alpena, and just sitting by the water and watching the sunset sort of, or the sunrise sort of glisten off of the lake there, and just thinking to myself, like, everything is going to be okay. There was something about the water that calmed me down, that set my spirit at ease, that gave me peace and gave me comfort and gave me something. And I don't necessarily know how, but my co-pastor, Pastor Lindsay, however it happens, when she goes to Nebraska and sees rolling cornfields, which most of us, as we're driving west, we think to ourselves, like, how in God's name is this country so large, right? Like when you're driving through Iowa, but I won't make any comments about Nebraska, or I'll be in trouble, but like, Needless to say, you're driving through Iowa and it's just expansive and huge. But for her, seeing the rolling cornfields and just this massive plains area gives her that same experience of like, oh, all the stress is just melting off my body. Thank God for creation. I wonder what it would be like to just live immersed, you know, in things that humans have made. And God bless us, you know, tall buildings and, you know, beautiful theaters and all the different things that humans have used their divine-given gifts to create. But there's something about being out in nature. For those of you that go hunting, you describe this feeling of getting into the blind and, you know, all of the problems melting away, and you play cards and you tell stories and you spend time with the people that you love and care about, and maybe there's a deer out there somewhere, but for the most part, it's just about going into the woods and experiencing that fellowship and that peace and that solitude that comes with being out there. Creation is a gift. The psalmist wrote that merely God just breathed creation into existence, that God set the boundaries of the oceans, that God raised up these forests, that God created all of these wonderful things. And I was reading one of my favorite Christian theologians, Frederick Buechner. I just love the way that he writes about stuff. And he says that sometimes we as spiritual people look at the sunset and we're like, oh, that's just like yesterday's. And we can sort of ignore the fact that literally every sunset and every sunrise is unique. If you go out and stand and look at it, and there are wonderful photographers that capture the nuances and the differences that while it's the same, you know, sun rising over the horizon and setting over the horizon, it's really unique and it's beautiful. And if you take a moment to just drink that in and experience it, it's a masterpiece every single day that gets played out in our lives. I don't know about you, but creation has always been one of the best places for me to commune with God. Sometimes I feel like, you know, on a Sunday morning, if we just encourage people to go outside and sit on their front porch and maybe have a cup of coffee or whatever your drink is of choice, like that spiritual time can be as good or better than anything that we can offer you here in the walls of the church. I love camping with some of you all because we get to have worship around a campfire, singing songs with tall trees all around us and an opportunity to be by some body of water, and I feel like God is there. God is here too. But there's something about being outside that gives me such a sense of the beauty of God's creation. I find myself continuously inspired. And when Lindsay and I were on vacation, one of the neatest things that we saw when we were down in Florida was watching a Falcon 9 rocket launch out into outer space. And as we were sitting there, you know, for one thing, it's beautiful down there at Cape Canaveral. You're overlooking some, I forget the the term for it, but like almost like an estuary or something, you know, where there's water and grass, and you get to see the rocket take off just by the ocean side. And all of a sudden, this incredible creation, you know, the rocket goes up into outer space, and about 10 seconds later, you can hear the rumble of those massive engines just fall over you. And then miraculously, the booster comes down and lands just as soon as it had gone up. And it's just miraculous to watch. But I find myself thinking, like, the rest of that rocket went up to an international space station where humans have been living in outer space, observing things that I can't even imagine what it would be like to look down on the planet Earth and see all the clouds and the land masses and the oceans and all of that kind of stuff. What a beautiful sight. Our home. Our planet Earth. And I find myself thinking, you know, that's just one tiny little blue pearl in the midst of all of the galaxies and stars and nebula and comets and asteroids out there, that God was mindful of us, that God created this beautiful home for us. Scientists call this the Goldilocks zone. It's a place that life can inhabit that is actually kind of rare in the universe. And it's our home. I was really struck, actually, when I had an opportunity to go to Israel a number of years ago. We went there, and then my grandfather and I actually had a chance to go on an extension to Egypt, where, of course, you read in Scripture in the Old Testament The Egyptians were phenomenally prosperous, mostly because of the Nile, this river that would flood, and when it flooded, all the mud would, you know, spill over into the banks, and as a result of that, they were able to grow some incredibly successful crops as a result of that flooding. And that river literally gave that civilization life, made it powerful, probably more powerful than many of the other civilizations at their time. And I was excited to go see the river that I had seen in the movie Ten Commandments. Anybody with me? You know, like, you're just like, this is the Nile. I've heard about this from the time I was young. And when I got to Egypt, I was so struck by the fact that that river, which had given Egyptian ancestors an incredible opportunity to be prosperous, to develop civilization, to build things that people marvel about and travel to this day, that that same river is the same river that today people use as the garbage disposal system for the whole country. And you can see in that river every single corporate logo that America has ever developed, McDonald's cups, Burger King cups, Wendy's cups, I mean, you know, you name it, KFC, plastic cups, everywhere, like the entire river, in fact, every tributary that goes into the river is completely filled with garbage. And I was crushed. I found myself thinking, like, this river, you know, unique in the fact that it flows south to north in some respects, the fact that it was such a bedrock for the civilization development and part of, you know, the biblical story, you know, I was looking forward to seeing this river, and we did a Nile River cruise on a sailboat, and literally as the sailboat was making its way through the river, there was just garbage everywhere. It was hard for me to imagine anything living in that particular river. And I found myself wrestling, right? Because on the one hand, like, creation is beautiful. It gives me a deep joy going up north, as I just mentioned, north of Flint, to go see the rivers and the lakes and all of the beauty that northern Michigan has to offer. And it's down here, right here in Brighton, too, just going over to Kensington Metro Park or wherever you can imagine. But when I was in Egypt, I was like, boy, we sure are destroying certain parts of this planet. And it was crushing for me. I don't mind to just, you know, I don't mean to throw Egyptians under the bus alone. There are other parts of the world that we're destroying as well. People talk about strip mining and fracking. And my brother lives in Oklahoma, and he was telling me about this gigantic 5.7 on the Richter scale earthquake that they just had in Oklahoma as the direct result of, you know, pulling oil out of the ground. And they're all parts of the world, right, that are being defaced and destroyed and polluted. And I find myself reflecting back to this passage in Genesis. God created the heavens and the earth. God created the planet, the earth. He separated the oceans from the land, and he created this place for us to inhabit. He raised up vegetation and created all of this wildlife, and he said that it was all good. And then finally he created us, and he sort of looked, I imagine, like Adam and Eve, our ancestors, and I think even us, sort of looks us in the eye and says, this is your job. I mean, before anything else, in Genesis, God looks at Adam and Eve, our ancestors, and he said, I've got one task for you in the very beginning. This is it. Then a responsibility that we failed at pretty quickly. But the first job was to live in harmony with creation. And I'm not saying we all do a bad job of that. But I found myself, it was, we were flying to Florida, you know, every once in a while you look out the window and you look at the fact that there's like almost not a single place when you look down from an airplane that human hands have not had some intersectionality with. There are farms, there are neighborhoods, there are farms turning into neighborhoods, there are big buildings, there are cities, there are roads that go everywhere, literally everywhere in this country. And I find myself thinking back to that passage in Genesis, Adam and Eve, it's your responsibility to order creation, to care for it, to have stewardship over it. And there are some folks who translate that you're supposed to have dominion over all of creation. Has anybody ever heard that before? It's your responsibility to have dominion. And there's lots of folks who have taken that passage to say, like, well, let's burn it to the ground. Let's use it. Let's exploit it. Let's take advantage of it. Human beings are above the rest of creation. We were created in this divine order, and humans are sort of the apex of the pyramid, and everything else just is a tool to be used or exploited. I was reading some Jewish commentary about this particular passage, and the way that our spiritual ancestors in the Jewish community said it was this: in order to practice proper stewardship, every resource we use, we ought to use thinking about how it will affect people seven generations from us. I mean, can you imagine, like, truly thinking about what that means? If a generation is roughly 20, 25 years, how is what I'm doing today going to affect people 140 or 175 years from now? I don't know about you, but I don't really think that way very often. Most of the time, I'm just like, can I make it to Friday, you know? But our spiritual ancestors had this intuition that stewardship, to care for a thing that I'm about to use, is about making sure that the same thing will somehow be able to be used by my great-great-great-great-great-grandkids. And I wonder if we've lost some of that. I don't know what the world will look like in 2200. In some ways, it's hard to imagine what it will look like in 2050. In some ways, it's hard to imagine what it will look like in 10 years. But I find myself wrestling with this question that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything in it. He created the plants and the animals. He created you and me. He created the lakes and the rivers and the streams and the forests and everything in it. And I'm not trying to, you know, preach this message to suggest anything, you know, other than this. I love creation. I love going into a forest and feeling for a moment like all of the problems and stress that I had 10 minutes ago are melting away. I love the experience of sitting by water and looking out over it and not seeing a McDonald's cup out there. And I'll be the first to admit, like, I have created a problem with plastic, you know. I'm part of that. I'm not trying to say it's like everyone else's problem. I have ownership in that. But I do find myself wrestling with the folks who wrote the Midrash, the Jewish commentary on the Old Testament, who said, when we think about stewardship, what that means is, how are my actions going to affect people 140 years from now? And I don't know about you, but I hope that at some point during this 366-day year, at some point when you're writing in your gratitude journal, that something about creation speaks to you. And you're able to say, God, thank you so much for the cardinal that was outside my window. Thank you so much for the opportunity to see, you know, a black rhino when I was safaring in Africa. Thank you so much for the opportunity to just sit in my backyard and listen to the birds chirp. Thank you so much for the opportunity that I had to be in close proximity with nature that has God's fingerprint on it. Because it's good. And I don't know about you, but I hope it's good not just for the next 10 years, but so that our great-great-great-great-great-grandkids look out over those same waters when they get stressed by whatever's going on in their lives, and they're able to say, thank God, in their gratitude journals 170 years from now. What a gift that we have in the trees and the birds and the water, in the mountains. What a gift we have in creation. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the great gift of this home planet, so small in the grand scheme of things, and yet to us, such an incredible gift. We give you thanks for the resources that we have, for the trees that have become our homes, for the rocks that are gathered and become a part of the foundation of our homes. We give you thanks for the animals, the relationships that some of us have with our pets, also part of your creation, for the love that we have of the sunrises and the sunsets, each unique and different than the day before. For the air we breathe and the water we drink that sustains life itself, thank you for providing everything we need. Allow us to practice gratitude, O God, to you, the one who raised the mountains out of the ground, who set the earth on its foundation, who grew the trees out of the rich soil, who gave source of life to all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When I try to sign up once a month to come up and do prayer, and when we sign up to do congregational prayer with you, we don't necessarily know what the theme or topic is going to be. So I usually go on the week week leading up to when I'm going to do the prayer and look on to see what the theme is going to be. And today's theme, obviously, was creation and gratitude. And so then I kind of looked up, read through what was going to be presented or talked about and what the prayers were, what the liturgy was, and it was gratitude for all things in God's creation. And part of that is that we are created by God. And I realized that I had signed up for one of the more frustrating sermon sections, because I have a really hard time with gratitude. And I had confessed that in January that, I'm flunking out on the gratitude journal. And while I'm very grateful and I can find lots of gratitude for a lot of things that God creates, one of the things that I find frustrating is me as one of his creations, because currently I'm falling apart. And one of the things that's especially frustrating when I come to church is that I'm falling apart in getting up and down stairs. And if you notice, I stand up here for this, and then for the next service I do the praise band, and so I have to come upstairs. Or I could go over and do the ramp, but you're walking all the way up the ramp, and walking is not my greatest skill either. Or I have to come up, because that's the only handrail is over there. So, it's kind of one of the things that we pride ourselves in the service is being very fluid and kind of things. So everybody tries to kind of get up here for the next thing. And so it's really stressful sometimes for me to plot my plan of attack getting up here, because I have to kind of do a lot of movement. In short, it's hard for me to be grateful for myself sometimes, but I feel like I signed up for this. God had me signed up for this for that exact purpose, forcing me to be grateful for myself and for him creating me, and that's how I created this prayer. Please join me after all of that speaking in prayer, finally. We have received so much from you, God, this morning. Our prayers start with a focus on thanking you for all of your wonderful creation. All that we have is thanks to you, God. Thank you for the ground on which we stand and the body that we have that rests upon it. While some things that you have created may fail us in the world, we are thankful for your power to fill in those needs with something else that your gracious hand has created. You do not fail. We only fail to see. But when we do see, we see all the ways that we can take what you've created and make things that will change lives. We can make artificial body parts to replace those limbs that no longer serve us. We use things found in nature to create new medicines to cure or combat diseases.
We can build vehicles and make them safer to ride in. We can generate energy from nature. We can make prayer quilts and fill them with our love, hope, and peace that will surround others in their time of need. And this week's prayer quilts are for Agnes Hoschel and a child of God. So let's put our prayers of love, hope, and peace in those for them. We complain about how many people out there are just fixated on the things that they have or the way that they can get all of it. But it is not things that are to be of concern, but how we use those things to either come closer to you or farther away. We pray to you, Lord, that our focus is never lost from you, but strengthened, that we never forget the Creator of all and the purpose for all your creations, to do good. While we are expressing our thanks and gratitude for all your creation, we also have to acknowledge those that are in need of just the basics, those that have no place, safe place to lay their head at night, are unsure of where their next meal is coming from, those that have become addicted to something. There are people fighting over the land that you created, fighting for the rights of the people that you created in your likeness, refuting that all humans are indeed in your likeness. We pray for those people, those situations, and that we might help. In our expression of gratitude for what we have, may we then share what we have with others. May we create in this sharing a community where no one goes without, that our likeness to you not be thought of as physical, but in your traits of generosity, caring, and graciousness. When we look at the expansiveness of your creation, we often express how minute we are in the comparison, but the power that your teaching and examples give to us, that power in your name can be so mighty. The power to move mountains and change lives. The power to change lives by our own generosity, caring, and graciousness. And in thinking about all of this, now we will take a moment of quiet to pray to you about our own lives, needs, and concerns. Now let's join our voices together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And thank you so much, Carol, for leading us in prayer. And for what it's worth, our trustee or building management team chair, Libby, has been working on two things. One, to continue to make our entire church more accessible and more environmentally conscientious. And so if you're looking for ways to help, please contact Libby, who is here this morning. She's been doing an excellent job of helping us think through the accessibility of all of our spaces. So Carol, thank you for naming that. We are following and on your lead on that. As we continue to worship together this morning, I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward and collect this morning's offering. If this is your first Sunday with us, your presence in and of itself is a gift to us, and we're just honored that you're here. If this is your spiritual home, we invite you to give generously so that the ministries of our church can be a blessing to others. And at this time, I want to invite forward Jeff Knopp. Jeff's going to come forward and share with us our mission moment about the Redbird Van. So please, let's join in welcoming Jeff as he comes forward to share with us.
Good morning. I thought I had a chance to sample some of that cheesecake, but maybe later. What I'd like to do is, one, thank Pastor John for allowing me to carry this mission forward. And it was identified, and we had a meeting with the work camp director in October about their need for, their drastic need for replacement vans. What I'd like to do is involve the audience. Is there any veterans, retirees in the audience? Raise your hand. For you, I have, we're going to talk about goals, objectives, and the current situation at Redbird. Do we have anybody who perhaps has attended, had the opportunity to go to Redbird Mission in Kentucky? Would you just raise your hand? That is an awesome mission and opportunity, and I enjoyed it. This is our goal. And as anything, a goal is flexible. It's like Jell-O. It's what we're trying to reach. We're trying to reach raising money of $35,000 to hopefully procure, again, pending the market and arm wrestling a good deal, one used work van. If we have more money, we're going to look towards buying two used work vans for Redbird Mission, for the work camp. Okay. And as John had said, this is our mission of the year, so it's going to pass throughout the whole year. This is the lemon lot down in Redbird Mission. These tired horses, again, think of what we call a work van. They're really a mobile hardware store, so to support the home renovation out in the field. And that carries hammers, concrete, lumber, nails, you name it, it'll get stuffed in there, specific to the work that we're trying to accomplish by teams. These vans are, the oldest is 1994. The newest is 2001. So you're looking at some tired horses. They're almost 25 to 30 years old. They started out being procured from the Campbell Soup Kitchen label. And it would took the communities of Bell, Clay, and Leslie County. They had to collect over 1 million perfectly cut labels to get one van. That program ended in 2009. Of the 12 vans they had for work camp, they're only down to four that are kind of somewhat operational. Now, any veteran knows operational, you have standards to obtain that. I had the opportunity to drive one of the working vans, and it was like Christmas because all the warning lights popped up, engine, brakes, tire, you name it. And I said, this isn't good. So that Thursday, I dragged Pastor John into the new work camp director, Brad Culps, and he'd already put out, hey, we could use some help getting vans. So we sat down and came up with a scheme of maneuver, a concept. And part of that involves all of us, as well as a coalition of other United Methodist churches in the great state of Michigan. And we're trying to raise money collectively to help the people in the field. This is the camp. This is the type of work, and I know there's more pictures out, but this is what I had, that work camp contributes, but more importantly, all that material, hammers, drills, are carried by that mobile hardware store. So we can't get them new vans, this work's in jeopardy. And you see a lot of different skill sets that are involved. And we luckily had George and Carl to help us. How do you replace a floor? What do you cut and what shouldn't you cut? So if you do have an opportunity this coming year, I would look into talk to Gene Smith, because we always need helping hands. And you don't have to be skilled. I know my wife enjoyed the power impact drill. This is a recipient. This is Opal. At the time, she was 91 years old, about 4'5". And we gave her a safer kitchen to live in and to maneuver in. And she enjoyed her Western movies, because we always, in the background, we could listen to all that. Here's some of the other, another work camp, home renovation. They were building ramps. You see in that upper left corner, that's the back end of one of their tired work vans. And it just, it has everything in there. But without those vans, the home renovation is going to fall. Now, this is some $35,000, that's a lot of money. But we wanted to break this down into digestible pieces for your consideration and maybe outreach to others you know, that perhaps if somebody can write a check for $35,000, that would be awesome. But we know we live in a real world, but perhaps you would like to buy, notionally, contribute to buying the steering wheel or the brake system or the seat. So we tried to break it down into digestible pieces. And of course, you can't go anywhere unless you have safe tires on that van or the ignition exhaust systems. So these are just skills to help break down that huge amount into something more digestible. Again, this is a test. What is our goal as a community? Thank you, 35,000. Now, if we go past that, that's a good thing because we're gonna try to get a second van. What's our objective? At least buying one pre-owned, not certified, but pre-owned used van, work camp van. No seats in the back, just a driver's seat and his co-pilot. And in the current situation, if we can't help and lift up the people that are doing great work in Beverly, Kentucky, they're, in Army terms, they're engaged. We need to be that backup to say, we know you need a van, here's one. With God's blessing, maybe we can provide you two. With that, because I'm on the clock here, in the, by that great cheesecake out there, there's a display board with a lot of pictures and more details on Redbird and the vans and those communities they're helping. There's a spectacular newsletter, front and back. Take one home. It's got facts. It shows you how you can contribute. It's got a lot of pictures because this is us helping others. With that, that's all I have to say. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
Amen. I just want to thank Jeff, you know, for your leadership and also share that so far between our church and contributions from the annual conference and other local churches across Michigan, we've collected over $13,000. So we're well on our way towards that goal. And I also just wanted to say a big thank you to Vicki Dutcher, who is conducting a puzzle exchange out inside the community room that folks are donating puzzles to. And then you can buy new puzzles. So if you're looking for something to do during February, that's an option to do puzzles and do participate in the puzzle exchange. Thank you so much.
Lord, God of all creation, we bring our humble offerings from what you have first given us. Guide us in using these resources wisely and help us to protect the gift of the creation you have given us. Amen.
Amen. Well, as we conclude this service, I'm just going to actually invite you to take a seat for a moment. We have an announcement that's going to be made by one of our lay leaders, Marcia Eichel. So I'm going to invite Marcia to come forward to share with us a special announcement this morning regarding staffing.
As you know, my name is Marcia. I think probably a good portion of you already know me, and I am a fairly new lay leader. I have been given a script, and I promise I won't veer from it. I want to share a staffing announcement on behalf of the leadership board and the staff management team this morning. A few weeks ago, we learned that Pastor Allison has accepted a new position as the program director for Grace Outside, which is the new name for the Michigan Area United Methodist Camping Program. This full-time position means that Allison's last Sunday with us will be Easter Sunday, which is March 31st. For Allison, this was an opportunity to answer a calling that God has placed in her heart to serve kids through camping ministries. And for that, we should be very happy for her. This is, it's heartfelt, it's sincere. And let us not forget and be deeply grateful for all the work that Allison has done at our church to grow the programs that we entrusted to her care and leadership, developing a strong, vibrant youth program, reopened Sunday school programs, led youth retreats to United Methodist camps, recruited, trained, and deployed volunteers and Sunday school teachers, held parents' night out events, BBS, Vacation Bible School, Trunk or Treat, Easter Egg Hunts, and so much more. Whew. Bless her heart. And she is not here this Sunday because she's at Winter Blast at Wesley Woods in Dowling, Michigan this weekend with the youth of our church. We also have a message from Allison, and it is, I am so incredibly grateful for the supportive spirit of this congregation, and it has been my joy to serve the families here. Over the last couple of years, I was able to witness firsthand the transformational power of camp in the lives of children and the youth from our church. This inspired me to see the potential in the camp experience to truly change lives. I am grateful also that my new role means that I can see and serve all of you as you go to camps and retreats throughout the year. This church will always be a family to me. Thank you. In closing, we can easily say Allison will be greatly missed. I added up yesterday, both my sons are now 50 years old and older. And my youngest was baptized in this church, so you do the math. And since Allison has been here, it's been a joy to me to see the vibrancy of our youth and adding to the Sunday school programs and this little kids and all this and that. So she will be greatly missed. We know we will see her as we continue to send youth and adults to our United Methodist camps. Be assured, the leadership board is working with our pastors to determine next steps for student and children's ministry leadership of our church, as well as plan celebrations to express our gratitude to Allison. And I'm not going to cry because I know it will be filled with great thought, because one of the discussions we had is the importance of this position. So we will continue on our path to be a vibrant, loving, busy congregation. If you have any further questions on this, please feel free to reach out to the pastors or members of our leadership board. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that announcement, Marcia. And on behalf of all of us, I do just want to add my thanks to Pastor Allison for all that she's added to our team and the ways in which she's loved not only the congregation's kids, but also my own kids. And so we express our sincerest thanks and our congratulations to Allison. You know, that's the hard thing about having great staff is they're wanted. And Allison certainly is in that milieu. So as you depart from this place, grace. I pray that you will go with the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord so that we can continue to care for this beautiful home God has created for us. Let us go in peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.